and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the recovering voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Morning, Matthew.
Hello, Richard. Talk to me.
Recovering, indeed. Yeah, I'm getting really addicted to this Whoop strap that I'm wearing. We touched on it, didn't we? Was it in the last podcast or the one before? But we did touch on it, and I am getting a little bit addicted. Loving the fact that you can build a community on this strap. So just to give a little bit of background, again, it's effectively a strap you wear on your wrist, which gives you certain indications about your body and about your general state of being. So every day it will give you a percentage as to how much you've recovered from the day before. It will tell you how many hours of sleep you've had, what type of sleep, how much deep sleep, etc. But the recovering one is the one that's really fascinating me. Like, for instance, if you were to have a beverage or two, it would know, and your recovery would be incredibly low. If you play tennis, my phone tells me, we played a game of tennis, didn't we, the other day, now that we're allowed again. And as soon as I finished, I checked my phone, and it came up with activity detected, tennis. It knew I was playing tennis, and now it's telling me how I feel. It's incredibly accurate.
We should again repeat that you are not endorsing this product.
No.
You're earning no money. You do like to put a strap on, so that's understandable that you use it quite a lot. But there is a community as well that you are building.
You do know what you just said,
community.
Don't you? Yes, I am building a community. Yeah, there's something you just said back then, which I'm sure a few of our listeners heard. Let's scoot straight on past that. But yes, I have got this strap on, which is and it's fascinating. I'm not endorsing it. I'm not getting paid by this company, but I would encourage people to look into it. And the reason being is it is those objective markers again. I know I keep going on about this, but for me to know, to wake up in the morning, look, you know when you feel reasonably good, but to actually have like a measurement to say that you have slept this much, that your recovery is this good. And where it's quite interesting is, so I'm in a group at the moment with Harry Burgoyne and Adam Davis are in the group with us. In fact, John, I'm going to put it out there because I'm sure there's a few whoopers. I don't know if that's what they're called, but I'm going to label it that. I'm sure there's a few people out there using Whoop. So if you are, let us know. Although they can't get in touch on Twitter because you somehow got us suspended. But let us know what are the other channels. You've obviously got the email.
Yeah, do you not know it? No.
I mean, you've said it a few times, but I normally switch off at that point, if I'm honest.
Okay. It is, of course, hello@goalkeepersunion.net, or you can WhatsApp us, Richard, 07503 673 020.
That's how they can get in touch. Fantastic. And hopefully we can have more in this GKU group that we've created. I have just this morning invited David Button as well, although I've just checked and he's yet to accept my invitation, which I'm sure... nothing personal. I'm sure it's just a case that he's busy. Obviously, we're West Brom at the moment and, you know, they're making their great recovery, etc. Great recovery. There you go. So maybe that's why he hasn't accepted yet. I'm sure he will this afternoon.
Okay, but it all sounds good.
Mm.
It really does.
More than good. In fact, I'm 80% good today as it goes.
We'll move on to Patron of the Week, shall we?
Let's do that. It is, of course, this week... Josh Green, congratulations. You are our patron of the week. As always, a massive thank you to all of our patrons who help in such a big way. We may be making slight changes to this. We like to be flexible here at GKU. We may be making a few slight changes to this, but we will let you know what those changes are in due course.
Indeed, head over to patreon.com/goalkeepersunion. Plenty of stuff on there as per some feature interviews that haven't been released into the wild yet. The free podcast platform Wild. You can listen to some audiobooks from Richard Lee, and we've brought back Number One Mindset, haven't we? This was something that we started right at the very beginning of lockdown, so near on 1 year ago today, maybe, who knows, but we started to do the Instagram lives, didn't we? And we labeled it Number One Mindset, and we just spoke about goalkeeping mindset, and so we've brought that back, and there are now a few more episodes on Patreon.
There are indeed. Get yourselves over there.
Okay, plenty coming up in the show as per. Premier League reaction, UEFA Champions League reaction, and all the best from the EFL. On with the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, so the last podcast we did was on Monday morning, so we've got all the reaction from the full complement of Football League games on Monday. But first, European football and Champions League football, no less, Richard. Manchester City 2, Borussia Dortmund 1, and Edison getting away with one at 1-0. Not in a million years was that a foul by Jude Bellingham.
I have to agree. I do, and obviously I'm quite thankful that it worked in the goalkeeper's favour, worked in Edison's favour, but yeah, of course, I think we've all seen this. It was one of them where it's come back to him and he's obviously looked to have a quick touch and to volley it away. Very Edison-esque, you could say. And credit to Bellingham. He was incredibly quick, came in, closed him down, got there before Edison. And yeah, it's never been a foul. It is a goal. You know, that being said, naturally, I'm always going to stick up for a goalkeeper and the amount of times that it goes the other way. Maybe it's just a case of things evening themselves out. I don't know. But yeah, it is bizarre. I mean, from a Dortmund point of view, you've got to be fuming. That would have, of course, changed the course of the game, no doubt. Made it a very, very different game. So look, from Man City's point of view and Edison's point of view, it's simply a lucky moment.
Yeah, not often in the current climate that goalkeepers are given the benefit of the doubt in that type of situation. So certainly we'll take it. And he will take a very good save that he made from Haaland as well in the second half, one-on-one.
Yeah, well, it's a very good save. A lot of compliments given to Haaland for this one-on-one. It is funny listening to the narrative. We talk about it so often on this show, but the way in which they described him miss a chance or the goalkeeper save a chance, you wouldn't know that Edison actually made the save, because all we heard was about Haaland and how he got through and the power and, you know, kept his balance and tried to chip it, but he didn't. And he didn't score, and Edison made a good save. So at least mention Edison. But look, it is what it is. We understand this now, don't we?
We do. We do. Bayern 2, PSG 3, Richard. And the Kylian Mbappe opener inside 5 minutes. Manuel Neuer was unable to keep it out. Now, a bit of punditry on this one. Firstly, Martin Keown was the co-commentator. Straight at Neuer, he said, somehow it's gone through him, through his legs. Neuer's caught out, an early shot at goal, just not ready for it. Chris Sutton on the highlights later on that evening. I've got to say, I know Manuel Neuer's had a brilliant career, and he'll tell you that. Okay, Chris. But I don't know what he's doing there. Awful goalkeeping, misses it with his hand, and it creeps in.
Yeah, so I think the theme of the show is going to be the word awkward. I feel like a lot of these goals we're talking about are very awkward, because this is one. If you look at where Manuel Neuer sets and where the ball ends up, it's kind of in a position where you wouldn't necessarily go with your feet. You would go with your hands, but it's then not your hands pointed down. It might be a case of you then flipping the hands to try and turn and save, but it's not quite wide enough for that. So it's kind of in that little alley where you've got a bit of a decision to make on how you make the save. And in the end, he goes down with his hands pointed down, effectively outside the line of the shot, outside the line of his body, and doesn't end up getting enough of a barrier to keep the ball out. And it kind of squirms through his legs almost in the end and goes back in the corner. It's a really, really awkward one. I think the fact as well that Manuel Neuer he's a big guy. Like, you look at the way in which he sets. This was one of those where you could sense it wasn't where he just quickly collapsed and make a nice save. It was one where he did move quite awkwardly and it was a little bit stiff as he got himself down to it. And ultimately the shot just deceived him and crept through him.
Keylor Navas, another good performance for PSG and a good save from Leon Goretzka, the header, the low one down to his legs.
Yeah, very good. And this for me was almost a stereotypical classic Navas save, where cross comes in, makes a decision to retreat, gets back to his line, maximum reaction time and speed of reactions were fantastic. Yeah, to make the save as quickly as he did, get down as quickly as he did, very, very good and a very important save.
Porto 0, Chelsea 2, and Agustín Marchesín, the Porto goalkeeper, who we've spoken about quite a few times this season, especially in that last outing against Juventus, an inspired performance for him on that occasion. But the goal from Mason Mount, the opener, again, commentary here, Robbie Savage thought the goalkeeper could have done better and should have saved it. He said the ball went under his foot.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, for me, it was more a case of he got into his set position, took a bit of time getting into his set position, kind of ambled across to the left. When he actually set, I don't think he got his body weight quite where it needed to be. I think it was ever so slightly on his heels. And then I think it's that over-reliance. I think he's almost preempted making the save with his foot before the shot's taken. That's what it looks like to me. Because from that position, look, in a perfect world, you get there quick, you set. It's so far to his left that it's always going to be very difficult to get your foot across and make a save there. And in the end, it looks very awkward again, because I just feel that it's one where ideally you go down, sharp save to your right with your hand. You can obviously cover that much more distance. But it just looked like he'd almost made the decision when he got there and set that he was always going to make the save with the feet. And in the end, of course, it was ever so slightly too wide. But you do feel that had he gone down with his hand, he would likely have got there.
Yep, Edouard Mendy, good performance again from him. To a clean sheet, reacted to an in-swinging corner that was quite tricky and also a good block from Moussa Marega. But the in-swinging corner I just want to touch on, because it's funny sometimes when you see a specific save happen of a weekend or during a midweek run of fixtures, you tend to see it a few more times too, and there were similar saves to this one in the EFL that we'll speak about later.
Yeah, it's a very good save. Look, it's one that if it goes in, of course you get blamed. So, you know, the corner goes directly in, the goalkeeper's always looked at, but ultimately you need to take a position that is as advanced as it can possibly be, but always know that you'll make the save if it's whipped in at the near post. Now, this is a brilliant corner. Like, it looks like he's very much meant to do this. So you consider that he has whipped this in as quickly as he can from the corner spot, going in the front post. So the position that Édouard Mendé's taken up is a true position. He is back half of the goal. He is a couple of yards off his line, ready to come and catch the cross. So to get from there back to your near post, and then not to panic as well, because when that happens and you're caught off guard ever so slightly, to then have the awareness of mind to know where to parry, I think it's excellent goalkeeping. But I go back to it, I'm saying it's excellent goalkeeping, but at the same time, of course, had this have gone in, no doubt the commentators would have had a field day.
A little bit of Chelsea news that I just want to touch on, as Richard Lee would say, before we move on. And the headline here was that Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel says things got heated in a serious situation between Kepa and Antonio Rudiger on Sunday. This was after their heavy defeat to West Brom at home. I thought this was quite interesting just because it was an argument between Kepa and Rudiger. You wonder what was said. Is it just a storm in a teacup? Is this the type of thing that we see loads of times on training grounds, as I'm sure you've seen throughout your career on training grounds too? But just funny that Kepa is in the headlines again, but for having a row with a teammate.
Yeah, I mean, look, it happens all the time. It is a storm in a teacup. It's, yeah, near enough a daily occurrence, I think, at most Premier League clubs now, or certainly it should be. Like, you know, players are winners. It can happen over a five-a-side. It can happen over the most minor thing. But of course, when you've got a lot of individuals that are incredibly competitive and want to win, I see it as simple as that.
Did you ever have that? A row on a training
ground? All the time.
Yeah,
no, of course. Yeah, no, rows in the, of course, you go into a five-a-side. Look, ultimately, I think if you're going to be a Premier League player, Premier League goalkeeper, doesn't matter, Premier League player, then you are going to be incredibly competitive. You don't get to the Premier League without being a competitive individual. So you'll find that a lot of people that you meet of that level, they'll compete at everything and anything. Whatever you do, they'll want to win. It's almost, it doesn't matter whether it's football or not anymore. It's a case of, I need to continually prove myself. Now, that might be because of ego. It might be, who knows? But it is just a case of they have to win everything. So naturally, when you've got a lot of those individuals in one place, and these are, you know, elite athletes that have that will within them, then of course, it's going to be disagreements all the time.
It's so funny, isn't it? As fans and observers of the game, we tend to elevate situations like this, into something that they're absolutely not.
For me, look, I'm saying this without knowing what's gone on, and it might end up being something a lot more serious. My gut says that it's not. I'll be surprised if you get through a day's training without an argument. In fact, if you've got a squad of players that don't argue, more often than not, that squad of players will be down the wrong end of the league. That's what tends to happen.
Okay, one more bit of action from the Premier League before we move on to the Championship and the best of the rest from the EFL. And this was the game between Everton and Palace. A 1-1 draw at Goodison, a late goal from Michy Batshuayi. Now, Gary Neville, after the game, I'm just going to read out what he said, okay, regarding Olsen. If he just stands a yard off his post, makes himself big and says, beat me. But the problem is, with goalkeepers nowadays, a lot of them have the idea to come out and smother the first touch. He makes it easy for Batshuayi, good finish, but makes it easy for him.
I mean, for me, it's nonsense again. I think that we're talking, I don't know, half a yard too advanced, if that. You know, he comes out and you actually look where the shot's taken. Let's say he is a yard off, they love that one, a yard off his post. It's always a yard off his post. A yard off his post by the goal, that still goes in. So, you know, I don't know. It's just a nonsense comment again. I think that ultimately you could argue that maybe he should be a yard deeper, body weight forward, and look to make the save if he can. Maybe he gives himself a slightly better chance. But there is a natural instinct. As soon as the ball is played through like that and it's ever so slightly on the angle, but it's close enough in, he thinks he can get to within 2 yards and potentially do a long barrier and look to do a big spread and make the save, which in the end, it is a fantastic finish. It is right in the corner. It's not like it's gone in comfortably and it's an easy finish. He's made him put it right in the corner. So I don't see a massive amount wrong with this. And again, touched on what we touched on before, where, you know, we see the plaudits that Haaland's getting when he's one-on-one with Edison, and no one talks about the fact that Edison, who, by the way, did rush off his line, did exactly what Gary Neville saying here, did rush off his line. And actually before, he's got criticised for that because goals have gone in when he's done that. But this time he did it and got the rewards, which he often gets, but it almost goes unnoticed. And this is the bit that infuriates me. It's so easy with hindsight to say that, oh, had he have done that, then maybe he makes a save. But of course, had he have done that, it's a completely different situation. And in this one, I just think it's an excellent finish. I think Olsen, who was, you know, reasonably solid, I thought throughout, yeah, I just thought it was an excellent, excellent finish. The bit for me, though, that I am, I suppose, slightly aware of is whether this is just a general narrative to try and get the positivity up for Jordan Pickford maybe again. There is part of me that thinks that, and that's probably the skeptical part of me and the conspiracy theorist in me. I'm not sure because, again, where I'm seeing Nick Pope get a bit of stick last week and I'm seeing Olsen get a bit of stick this week, maybe it plays into that. I don't know, but I did think this was very harsh.
Incidentally, they had their England squads, didn't they, after the game, Neville and Carragher, and I think Neville opted for Dean Henderson as the number one for that starting game. That's something that we'll touch on nearer the time, of course. And we'll finish on a positive here. Vicente Guaita, a series of saves to keep the score down.
Yeah, thought he was very good. I thought positionally he was very good because you see these saves and they're all good saves, very good saves. But it was just the fact that he was reading the game incredibly well, getting to within a yard or two of the attacking player each time and effectively knowing where they're going, showed really good experience, good bravery. Look, I think he's a very, very good goalkeeper. Probably, you could argue, one of the more underrated goalkeepers in the Premier League. So it's very rare that we highlight him on here for anything negative. It normally is solid performances with the odd great save thrown in.
Richard, it's the one down from the Premier League rundown. Yes, it is the Championship rundown, Richard, and we'll go straight into David Stockdale. Another clean sheet in Wickham's win over Rotherham. Very good indeed. Helped set up the opener. Searching drive, flick, goal. And there's a theme here, isn't there? Because he also helped set up the second. Searching drive, good hold-up play from Uche Ikpeazu. Eventually then the finish from Jason McCarthy. And then the third, he helped set up the third. Flick on from Bayo Akinfenwa, goal.
Well, there you go. Football simple. Football simple when you play the Wickham way. And I think that, look, he's come in and he's done a very, very fine job. You know, I think if there are any question marks in regards to David Stockdale and whether he could still do it at Championship level, given that he hadn't had many games in recent seasons up to this point, he certainly stepped in and shown that he's still very much of the level. And I think as well, the way that Wickham play, the fact that he is so accurate when he does go long and, you know, you describe it as searching drive. That's what it is. The trajectory is excellent. And when you've got the likes of Bayo Akinfenwa up front doing what he does, you can get into that final third so quickly, so effectively. You kind of feel a bit sorry for Wickham. You feel had the season started that little bit later, they might actually be in with more than a decent chance of actually staying in the league because they're certainly hitting some good form. But no, from David Stockdale's point of view, really pleased for him. Made an excellent double save in this one as well. Made a good save with the foot up quickly over to his left to make another save. And he's looking very, very sharp.
Simon Sluger, a good save, a brilliant double save on the penalty from Daryl DK as Luton did eventually lose at home to Barnsley. They did score as a result of that penalty save. Your reaction to that and the winner, which he may feel it could have maybe parried into a better area.
Yeah, so the winner, I'm going to use that word awkward again. That's the third time in the show because it was a really awkward one. Again, it's down to his left. It's not a pickup. And similarly, it's not one where you flip the hands and collapse down to your left. It was somewhere in between. And you can see effectively he's just tried to get a block on it more than try to gather it. Now, as soon as he then isn't able to hold it and isn't able to parry it wide, he's then trying to get the second ball and is brave as he tries to retrieve the ball, but just can't get there and would feel a bit disappointed. But I say that, and it is a very difficult one. And again, a really awkward ball to deal with down low to your left like that. And sometimes you are reliant on a little bit of luck. But you mentioned the double save in particular. I mean, a crazy passage of play. And it was fantastic penalty save. The second save, you could argue, was even better to recover and make that save point blank and then to go up the other end and score. Fantastic. But obviously, in the end, not quite enough.
Raphael with a double save as Reading beat Derby. First from Tom Lawrence and then from Colin Kazim Richards.
Yeah, very good. And actually, Raphael, I know we touched on a few moments he's had this season, but certainly this game, I thought he was very, very good. Lots of saves in this game. And the one in particular that he tips over, great save down at his near post, as you touched on, but the one in particular that he tips over, I really enjoyed just for the fact that you could see he alters his position ever so slightly before the ball comes in. And there's a realization that the left-hand side is covered by one of his defenders and the fact that the player shooting realistically can only find the top corner. So I just thought it was really intelligent goalkeeping just to shift ever so slightly set again, and then show great athleticism to get himself up and tip it over the bar.
Asmir Begovic, lovely foot save for another penalty save. Alan Armstrong this time as Bournemouth comprehensively, really comfortably beat Blackburn.
Yeah, and look, he's just getting better and better. I think that, you know, it'd be interesting. You know, I'm sure at some point we'll probably talk about a goalkeeper of the season, but in terms of consistency, I think he's been very, very good. Certainly now Bournemouth, again, seemingly on the up. You'd like to think they'll have a good chance of a playoff place. I know that his manager, Jonathan Woodgate, has come out and said some really positive comments about Begovic. You just kind of feel that sort of character going into the run-in with the kind of experience that he's got, the fact that he does have that winner's mentality. It's the perfect person for Bournemouth to have in goal right now.
Senny Dieng back in after the international break. Forrest doing a job really on QPR. And Atella two free kicks, one very good save from a James Garner free kick and then conceding from a James Garner free kick later in the game.
Yeah, I think he'll be disappointed with the one that he conceded from. It was an interesting afternoon for him. I thought that QPR, despite some good games recently, weren't really at it in this one. He actually made several good saves during the game. The one from the free kick in particular, very, very good. Took up a true position, had his wall to the left-hand side, managed to get himself over very quickly, full stretch, going right in the corner. Again, you need incredible power, speed of feet, agility, athleticism to get yourself to this ball. So brilliant save. But the one that did him, it's one of them. It's a great ball in, it has to be said. It's whipped in and it has actually gone right in the top corner. The position he's taken up for the free kick was good. I don't think he's moved early. I think it is just a case of it being a very, very good free kick and maybe didn't move early enough to get himself back and try and tip it over the bar. So no doubt he'll be a little bit disappointed, but certainly more positives than negatives.
Brentford and Birmingham goalless, and we should flag Neil Etheridge here. He made, I think it was four saves in the game. Nothing particularly spectacular, but then they don't need to be spectacular. He just looked solid, and I think it was the fourth save from the Brian Mbeumo header that was the one, I guess, that looked the best. But all in all, a solid performance.
It was, and a really, really important point this for Birmingham, given the position they're in, given that Rotherham have got the games in hand that they've got. And in the same way that I talk about Begovic having that experience for the position they're in, I think it's very similar for Neil Etheridge and Birmingham. And certainly he looks very confident. Obviously, Lee Bowyer going in now, and they do seem like they've got a new lease of life. And from Neil Etheridge's point of view, again, very solid. The save to his left in particular, just when you're talking about it technically, the fact that he's given himself the reaction time, shown good power, and he is an incredibly powerful goalkeeper to get to the left like he did, parry it away. It was just textbook goalkeeping, and I felt that was the case for the various saves he made.
And to finish in the Championship, your old boys, Watford, a 1-1 draw with Middlesbrough. We've got a WhatsApp on this one.
Okay.
Let's listen to that first.
Not sure if Rich is watching the Watford game, but Daniel Backman, in my opinion, again, has failed to deal with the ball in the box as he should have done. He had the line at the edge of the box. The ball was maybe 6 or 7 yards out on the delivery, and he's retreated instead of coming to get it. As a Watford fan and as a goalkeeper, definitely fed up with this because it's happened time and time again over the great run that we've had. But Backman has cost us goals and made errors. In my opinion, with the home straight as we're in now, Backman needs to be put back on the bench, and what appears to be a fully fit Ben Foster needs to return to the starting 11.
So that was from our good friend Dan Cohen. He's actually across the pond at the moment, isn't he? And I have to say that I love these WhatsApps. These are the reason as to why we started the WhatsApps, because it's listeners giving us their opinion, not necessarily asking questions, giving us their opinion on a goalkeeping incident, on a goalkeeping performance. It doesn't have to be something that you agree with. It can be controversial. It can be whatever you like it to be, but opinion is what we want to hear.
It is indeed. And no, I love the fact that he sent this through. And this is an interesting one for me because, of course, it is a club that is still very much close to my heart. And I'm very much keeping a close eye on what's going on there. And they are on a fantastic run. And I suppose what I'd say with this, and of course, I'm the biggest Ben Foster fan going, given that I was back up to him for a season, know him as well as I do and know the qualities he's got. That being said, you've got a goalkeeper here who's stepped in, who's gone above and beyond in terms of the expectation. Now, you could argue that this has coincided with Sisko coming in as manager, but similarly, the record that Dan Backman has since he's been in the team has been very, very good. You can see that he's got the bit between his teeth. You can see that he's making plenty of saves, and ordinarily the performance levels have been very high. Yeah, there's been one or two where maybe you look and he hasn't maybe looked quite as assured as you'd have wanted him to. But I think on the whole, Watford fans must be very, very pleased with where he is. And I guess it's a really difficult situation for Sisco, for anyone at Watford, because you've got a goalkeeper in Ben Foster who is, look, ex-England international, played as many games he has in the Premier League, made more saves than anybody, I believe, in the Premier League. He is a legend, and certainly a Watford legend, given what he did previously, given what he's done since. But at the same time, you've got a goalkeeper now who's playing week in, week out, and doing incredibly well. So the decision is, do you then bring someone back in who hasn't played now for a few months for the run-in, or do you allow Dan Backman to continue the momentum he's got in order to see out the season? Now, my gut says, firstly, we'll touch on this goal. I think it's a little bit hard. I mean, look, I've seen it, and could he come? Yeah, he could come. Should he come? I'm not so sure, because I think if you're going to look at it, at which point could he catch it at his highest point, I think he would have to travel certainly 4 or 5 yards, and he'd have to attack the ball, come towards his front post slightly, and certainly attack the ball. I think the decision he makes is what I'd say most goalkeepers in the Championship would have made, which is to drop and try and make the save. So I do appreciate your point, Dan, and I think that it's a very valid point. At the same time, I think it's perhaps just a little bit harsh on this particular situation. That being said, of course, I don't watch every single Watford game, so if there are other moments when he could have come but hasn't come, of course, I can't necessarily comment on them. But in terms of the position on the whole and who they go with, at the moment, my gut says stick with Dan Backman, certainly until he has a game where maybe he makes an obvious error or two.
Okay, comprehensive answer there, Richard, from you, or reaction, I should say, to the WhatsApp. Again, if you'd like to send us your opinion, your goalkeeping thoughts, feelings, concerns, worries, doubts, whatever it may be, 07503 673 020, just like Dan did then, and just like Woody did in the last podcast too. Shall we move on to the best of the rest from the EFL?
Please.
Big game at the top between Peterborough and Sunderland. Christy Pym reaching to palm Aidan McGeady's free kick. He was unsuccessful, and he did receive a bit of criticism for this.
Yeah, he did. And quite a lot of criticism, it has to be said. And I do think it's a little bit harsh. I understand why he's got the criticism. Look, it's a free kick that hasn't necessarily gone right in the corner. I get that. What I would say is, once again, you know my stance on this. If it's gone up, down, over the wall, and it's gone into the corner, then of course I would always say that it's a great free kick. This isn't right in the corner, but this is just under the bar. I would say that. So for me, what seemingly has happened is that Christy Pym's moved to his left and maybe hasn't quite taken off in the way that he will have wanted to have taken off. But because of the where the ball actually went in, it was so close to the crossbar, the angler dive would have needed to have been ever so slightly back on himself to try and claw it out. So I think if he does save this, it would have been a phenomenal save. I think it's one of them. The fact that, of course, people are going to point to it being a couple of yards inside the post is why he got the criticism. But I do think it's a little bit harsh, personally.
Jamie Jones of Wigan, two good saves. But was it really a cannon from Cannon? Naturally, all the headlines were spouting that exact line, because it is a nice line, I suppose. Andy Cannon, he got the winner with a decent shot from around 25 yards out, and it might have actually deflected some of the attention away from Jones, because could he have saved it?
It's an interest. It is, by the way, it is always interesting when you've got a surname like that. I can't help but feel that Toby Savin, you know, is just made to be a goalkeeper. If only he had the G on the end, that would be perfect. But no, Cannon from Cannon. Yeah, I've seen this. And again, I've only seen it from the camera angle that they give you, which is always a bit difficult, because ideally you want one from behind the goal or behind the person shooting, so you can see exactly what happened. But it does look like he gets to his left and just mistimes the palm. He's got one hand, which I think was a correct decision, but doesn't quite get the full hand to it. If anything, it kind of hits his thumb and comes back on him a bit. And you can only see that because of the fact that it ends up almost going in the center of the goal. So I think he just mistimes the parry.
The beauty of Toby Savin being Toby Savin is actually that he doesn't have the G, I would say, because then you can play on the word, can't you, and make the pun.
That's true.
Kind of the whole point.
It's almost a bit too obvious.
Well, yeah.
It's Tony Saving.
Exactly.
Not even Tony. That's also an issue. It's Toby.
Nick Zanev, late hero in recent weeks with that penalty save, wasn't he? But sadly more of a villain this time. Fleetwood's Barry McKay stealing in on a back pass.
Yeah, a nasty moment for him. Ball's come back. Good touch. And you can see there's just a moment of panic where he does have a slight chance where he can clear it. Probably doesn't have enough room to really feel that he can get any power in the strike. Look, again, in hindsight, it's probably one of those moments you just toe punt it and just hope for the best that you get away with it. He has tried to turn back on himself. And of course, as we've seen so often this season, he's been tackled and the ball's ended up in the net. So not a particularly nice moment for him, but certainly he's not the only one this season.
If Edison got away with one, so too did Jack Stevens of Oxford. Accrington's Dion Charles with what was a certain goal, but not given.
Yeah, obviously no chance for Jack Stevens, it has to be said. No. But certainly in terms of Oxford getting away with one, yeah, I'd fully agree with that. It was a goal. Look, and again, we can only see it from the angle we've got. So that being said, you know, we don't have goal line technology, unfortunately, in League One, but certainly from the view we've seen, it looks very likely that it has crossed the line. So they got away with one, but obviously in the end, they weren't able to get a point. So it didn't mean too much in the end. But I thought Jack Stevens, really good double save in this one in particular, and certainly keeping up his good run of form.
Toby Savin actually made a very good double save as well from, not a double save, sorry, a good save from Oladipe Shadipo. And it was big too because they won 2-1. He's got a good name, that Toby Savin, hasn't he? Crew.
We've mentioned Savin a lot. Just quickly on Toby Savin, what I would say is he's obviously come back in for Nathan Baxter, and where he had a couple of games, just a couple of tough games, I think, when he first was reintroduced back into the team, certainly seems to have found really good form again, which for Accrington, still very much in the hunt for a playoff place. It's good timing.
It is indeed. Crew, big win at MK Dons. Will we ask a line as well? Back in, was in and out with Dave Richards at Crew, but seems to have cemented his place as number one. Again, very good save to deny Charlie Brown. That was a header and a big win for them. And Matija Sarkic as well, stretching to deny Niall Ennis. Shrewsbury comfortably seeing off Plymouth.
Yeah, they did. And really sharp save this from Matija Sarkic. Good positioning. Again, readjusted his position ever so slightly. Good positioning. Really sharp down low to his left. This was going right in the corner as well. Very good save.
Into League Two, I'm going to label this one as possibly the save of the week from Cambridge's Callum Burton. We don't know yet whether he got a touch here. It was a free kick from Tranmere's Liam Feeney. If he did make a save, what a save it was.
And that's the point. We can't figure out. We've watched it. We've spent hours this morning.
All the machinery, everything.
We've gone through everything. And unfortunately, I said it's one of two things. It's either save of the week, or it's hit the crossbar first, come back, hit his hand, and then come out, in which case he hasn't even saved it. So there's no middle ground. It's either a fantastic save, or it's hit the bar and come back and hit his hand and then come out. So look, if you're listening in, by all means, please do let us know whether you actually saved this. In fact, if he is listening in, he's going to say he did save it, because that's what all goalkeepers do anyway.
Well, we'll take it.
Yeah, let's give it.
Any interaction with a professional goalkeeper, we will take. Absolutely. James McKeown with a similar save to that, really, and actually a bit similar to the one that we alluded to earlier from Edouard Mendy. I said there were some similar ones in the EFL. And these are those. A good save from Liam Sercombe.
Yeah, very true. Good save, yeah, as you mentioned, under the crossbar. Good reactions to tip it over. Again, retreated to the line and got himself up well to his right to tip it over. And from the corner, as you say, very, very similar. Whipped in. And again, it is a tough save to make. I've seen so many of them, even in recent times, that go in when they're whipped in with such pace, such accuracy into that near post. Certainly when you've got goalkeepers that do want to come for the cross and take up an advanced position, an aggressive position, to then be able to get back that quickly. And I use that word again, that they don't panic, you know, that they have the calmness of mind to then get both hands on it and claw it out, and ideally claw it out to safety.
Yeah, it was one apiece in the end with Cheltenham, so a big save from McKeown as Grimsby continue their bid to remain in League Two. And Matt Jilks continuing also what has been an excellent campaign, really, hasn't it? A couple of brilliant saves in Bolton's defeat, unfortunately, to Newport. And that was thanks largely to Nick Townsend as well, who made a very good save from an Alex Baptiste header late on, which then turned into quite a mad scramble.
It was. Well, to touch on Matthew Jilks, as you mentioned, a couple of great saves. The first one in particular, I wrote down here, reactions, reflexes, agility, which, look, we hate mentioning his age, but I do it every single time. But I do it because it just shows me, you know, that even at the age that he is, the speed at which he got to this, the reactions, reflexes that he showed, absolutely brilliant. And then a really sharp save low down to his left as well, which then sort of bounced off the floor and you thought for a second it might be going in, but got up quickly and got onto the second ball. Brilliant performance. And then Nick Townsend, as you mentioned, it was a bizarre moment because he's made a brilliant save. The ball has then stayed on the line. Two defenders both running at the ball from opposite directions, but because they're running at exactly the same time, they both meet the ball at the same time and both decide not to do anything about it, which then means that a big melee ensues. You've then got a striker doing that classic one of where you just see them just keep kicking. They don't even know what they're kicking, but they're just trying to force that ball over the line. And again, credit to Nick Townsend. You have to feel that he got himself in the way and he somehow managed to keep it from going over the line.
Mad, just mad how that stayed out. Two more to finish on. Firstly, Forest Green Rovers. Luke McGee back in for Forest Green. It is hokey-cokey keepers, isn't it?
I mean, look, you know my thoughts on this. You've got two very good goalkeepers down there, but unfortunately you've got a manager who is not giving either an opportunity, really. They're just continually back and forth. And I don't know how you're ever going to be able to build up a head of steam, build up some consistency. You know, I touch on this quite often and that it can take a number of games for a goalkeeper to truly get into the swing of it. It makes goes back to my point earlier about why I'd probably stick with Dan Backman over Ben Foster right now, is that I think when a goalkeeper's got momentum, that in itself is quite powerful. And annoyingly, or the way that it seems, is that he is using a goalkeeper as a scapegoat. It does look like that from the outside. Now, I don't fully know. I don't know the workings of the manager's mind, so I can't necessarily comment on why he's doing what he's doing. But to the outside world, the fact that you're always dropping your goalkeeper just doesn't look good, and it can't be nice for a goalkeeper playing in that environment. And actually, given that we're seeing a lot of the footage, if anything, I think both goalkeepers have performed well this season from what I've seen. So it's just a bizarre situation.
And to finish, Aidan Stone, Mansfield goalkeeper, who we spoke about last time out, not in the most positive aspect, I suppose, because of the fact that it was a bit of a shambles playing out from the back in Mansfield's defeat to Leyton Orient. But this time out, a 0-0 draw with Exeter and a very good save from a Jack Sparks header.
Yeah, Banks-esque, I've written down. No, very good. And you mentioned it last time. It wasn't necessarily him last time. It was largely the defence playing out from memory that wasn't particularly good, and just a tough afternoon, I think, for both him and the back four. But no, in this game, great save down to his right. I say Banks-esque. He didn't quite scoop it up over the bar, unfortunately, but the way in which he got down to his right very quickly, clawed it out. Excellent save and saved a point. Clean Sheet Club. Yes, it's that time. And look, it has to be said, obviously, given that I now have my club on my Whoop app, you GKUs that are out there that are joining this club, that is a quite prestigious club. But of course, it is nowhere near as prestigious as Clean Sheet Club. And that is what this is. We've got Asmir Begovic, who has 2 in 3. David Stockdale, 5 in 10 since stepping in at the end of February. Danny Leverson, 1 in 7. Joe Wildsmith, ditto, 1 in 7 since reclaiming the number one spot. David Rea, 4 straight draws for the Bees and a 1 in 4 for their goalkeeper. Neil Etheridge, back in the swing of things with back-to-back shutouts. Tim Krul, never out of the swing of it with 10 clean sheets and just 7 goals conceded in his last 16 outings. Alex Cairns, he doesn't Cairns too much for conceding because clean sheets can buy him love. GKU tells him so. My dear God. Matt Ingram, 1 in 4. Will Jaskalainen, 2 in 3. Jay Lynch, back in action and sparkling clean. Thomas Holy, continuing in action with 3 in 6. Matthias Arkic, Sark back off the mark with a 1 in 9. Craig McGillivray, same as that, Sark Lark, also a 1 in 9. Jokel Andresen, 2 from 3. Aidan Stone, 2 from 4. Vaclav Hladký, nice and clean with a 45th game of the season for a goalkeeper former boss Richie Wellens claims is too good for League 2. Scott Brown, 3 and 4. Lawrence Vigouroux, 5 and 7 for Big Vig. Liam Roberts, 2 and 3. Nick Townsend, 1 in 6. And finally, Paul Farman. The GKU curse has well and truly been lifted with 3 on the trot.
Pathetic delivery on Alex Cairns there, mate. Pathetic.
Go on then. How would you have said it?
Alex Cairns, he don't Cairns too much for conceding because clean sheets can buy him love. GKU tells him so.
Okay. I mean, look, I'm just not... I'm not a performing monkey. That's the point.
You fooled me.
You write this down. You expect me to read it word for word. And also, just for complete transparency, I only see this for the first time when I read it out. It's not like we go through this beforehand. So you spring these things upon me and you expect me to know what tune they're referring to.
There we go. Hey, who knows? Mm. You know what that is though, right?
I know that song. Now that you've sung it incredibly, but yeah, I've got an idea as to what that song is.
What is the song?
Money can buy me.
There you go. Yeah. See, not a problem for you.
No, but I'm not. Okay, come on, carry on.
Well, we're done. We're done. What a way to finish. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I was just starting to get into that.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Keepers
away.